don't know how many of you have ever needed a first responder. I'll just tell you, in our family, in the last few years, Joe and I have needed an ambulance 3 times. And some of these men may have come. And several years ago, probably not any of you firemen remember this, but Joe's dad, Bob Carmichael, lost his barn and dairy stalls to fire. But they protected the garage and the house so that it's still standing. And we were so grateful. Joe's dad fell and broke his hip, and his mother had a stroke. So we've used a lot of first responders in the last few years. And we are so grateful. And as I told one of the gentlemen coming in today, I'm glad to see you here and not at my house today. But I know that you would be there if we called. And we are so, so grateful our community is protected. And, you know, I wanted to put into words, and it's my words are so inadequate, but your selfless service to the greater community is helping us all through these tough times. I know you responded to the tornado last March, and your bravery and sacrifice and genuine concern for our welfare make up our community a better and safer place. We are grateful for those who face life-threatening situation and put themselves in harm's way on the front lines every day. Many of you leave family events that you're missed at to take care of us. And we are indebted to you. We want to, in a small way, thank you. So if we could have a representative from the fire department and from the police department come forward, we'd like to give you a financial donation. Now, what many of you don't know is that lots of times the folks that are doing these services have to come up with their own money to provide many of the things that they need to take care of us. So we do have a basket in the back. If you would like to donate, we are giving them a gift, but if you would like to donate, please see that it goes in the basket in the back. Can we have a representative from each department? One more thing. If you don't get a call to leave us before it's all over, if you would stand in the back afterwards and let us thank you personally, we would appreciate it, each and every one of you. Okay.
Now we're going to call the rest of you up here. Because we want to honor you. If you would please, if you're one of the first responders, please come forward. Yeah, you didn't know we were going to embarrass you. They didn't tell you that, did they? We have a certificate for you for National First Responders Day 2024 in recognition of your outstanding performance, dedication, time, and personal sacrifice to the Selma community. We represent you in a little way by giving you these certificates. Thank you for your service. We were going to do this at the end of the service, but we figured nothing could ever go wrong, right? And so we want to recognize you all here today. And like I said, afterwards, if you'd stand back, I know we got a couple people who would love to shake your hands today. Thank you, gentlemen, lady.
Thank you. Pastor Church. Charles.
Yes.
I would like to say something. I have been the wife of a fireman for many years, and I've been the mother of a fireman for many years. And I know what dedication it takes for these guys to get up in the middle of the night, because I've had to have them in the middle of the night, and they are there. And I just love them all, and they just don't have any idea how much it means to me that even my son is a fireman. He's not here today, I don't know why, but anyway. I don't know why, but he is very dedicated, and he loves the fire department. And I just thank God for being able to have that part of my life as part of the fire department. You have no idea what it's like to see your sons get up in the middle of the night, or your husband get up in the middle of the night to go on fire runs. But it's just a different kind of life, I can tell you that. And every time I hear a fire truck go out, that's like a part of me. And I just thank you guys. I love you all. I appreciate what you've done for all of us.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. If you look at your bulletins, you'll see a whole different message there. And that's because usually, for those of you who don't know, I like to follow in a series. I plan out my message ahead of time, spend a lot of time in prayer, asking God where we want to go, and I set them out this way. If I'm preaching through a series or doing something, if somebody shows up at the last minute, and it seems like I just switched and hit them upside the head with something, I doesn't feel like a bait and switch. Like, hey, you just showed up and I know you have a problem and now I'm going to let you have it. So I try never to do that. So I thought, I'm not changing my messages when I'm doing this. And then yesterday when I was talking to Dale, he said, are you doing anything special? I said, no, I don't want to change just to hit the guys that are here. And I thought, well, kind of that. It would be a bait and switch for them. We're talking about honoring them and I'm going to preach about something totally different. No, we're gonna. I was all of a sudden my heart felt wrong about this, and I thought, quit being stubborn. Talk to the men and women who are here today about what's going on in their lives and about what they face. Some of you may know a little bit about why we do some things we do in our church. One of the things we do is, of course, I wear a robe. The robe is the symbol, not to show me, but to sort of hide me, to remind me that I'm serving a greater purpose. It's kind of like when you see one of our policemen, when they're out there, they're just in their clothes, you know, hey, how you doing, buddy? All of a sudden, if they're wearing the uniform, they're there for a purpose, for something greater. They're representing something else. And so when I wear the robe, it says, I'm not standing here for me. I'm standing here for God and for His authority. Normally, during this time of year, we wear green as a sign of growth. But red, the sash that I'm wearing today, we wear during communion or during the time of Christ's sacrifice. And also during the time of Pentecost to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today, as we honor you who are first responders, it seemed appropriate to set aside the green and put on the red. Because sometimes blood is shed. Lives are lost. And we need to remember that sacrifice. And so today, I wear the red for you. Those are willing to put your life on the line for us. Psalms 91 has often been called the first responder's psalm. Also been called the soldier's psalm. It's a psalm of protection. Many of the psalms are written by David, but this one, interesting enough, was written by another person. It's believed that it was written by Moses. Moses, who was called by God to be, in a sense, a first responder. Go save these folks. At first, he's like, Moses looks at God and say, are you kidding me? You know, you got the wrong guy here. But finally, he goes, and he goes down there and puts his life on the line to try to save people, which at one point told him to go away. We don't want your salvation. We don't want what you're bringing. I'm sure none of you guys have ever had that happen. You get called out, you're there, and they're, why are you here? We don't want you here. Well, 2 minutes ago you did. That never happens to you guys. But so I thought it was appropriate that Moses had wrote this psalm. And that Psalm 91, as we look at it, it's got a lot in it. But before I get into it, I want to read something that Paul Harvey wrote. Some of you remember Paul Harvey and his famous line. Here's the rest of the story. Paul Harvey wrote, one summer morning, Rain Blankenship was preparing his breakfast. He glazed out the window and saw a small girl being swept along the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road and then emptied into the main culvert. Ray dashed out the door, raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship's servant was able to grab the child's arm, then tumbled in over it in. Within 3 feet of the yawning culvert, Ray's hand grabbed something, possibly a rock, protruding from the bank. He clung desperately. With the tremendous force of the water, tried to tear the child from him, and he thought, if I can only hang on till help comes, he thought. He did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship pulled the girl to safety. Both, of course, were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Lifesavers Medal. The award was fitting, for this selfless person was at greater risk to himself than most people knew. Say, Ray Blankenship can't swim. When I think of the circumstances of first responders, you guys sometimes just jump in. You have training. They give you as best we can. We try to prepare, and you try to prepare for what can come. But you all realize, if you've talked to anybody and you've been around a while, you jump into things that you haven't been trained for. Like, nobody told me we'd be having this. Or they said it, but really? This is what's happening? But you jump in there to do what needs to be done. Put yourself at risk, not knowing sometimes what's going to happen or what you're going to face. but knowing there's a need and deciding to face it. Knowing sometimes there are people at need and putting yourself at risk to help those who need your help. Again, even sometimes when they don't realize it or sometimes don't appreciate it. We look at Psalms 91, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God's offering a place of shelter, a place of safety. Supposed to be, there are places in your life that are those places. Hopefully, the office, the department where you go in and you're preparing and setting things up. Hopefully those are safe places. Maybe not always. But in God, He offers us a place of shelter. And God, and the things here says that if you find, seek Him for shelter, that the Most High, that's God, will rest, you will rest in His shadow. In other words, He's got you by His side. He's there. For those of you who work with partners, you know how important it is to have a good partner. Someone you can trust, somebody who's got your back. God is saying, I have your back. If you trust in me, I will be there. The person who finds themselves can say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because we can say that God is one that we can trust. Surely He will save us from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. As I read that, I thought, how many times have you ever felt like you walked into a trap? You know, it's like, what's going on here? We weren't expecting this. And all of a sudden, boom, the hammer falls. Like, what in the world just happened here? That's the fowler's snare, that trap. I don't know what kind of traps you've fallen into or watched happen around you, but I'm sure you're there. And God says He will help protect you from that. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Putting your faith in God doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. We've talked about God's moment ago about God's protection from the snare, but the thing is, snares happen. God can be there to help us during those times. He can be our shield, our rampart, our fortress, a place we can hide and be safe, someone that can help protect us. But let me tell you something, when you're in a battle, things happen. And sometimes, let me be honest, you guys know you're in a battle. Sometimes it's literal battle. Because somebody's upset, somebody's somewhat inebriated or somewhat hooked onto something, and they are not coming home with you. Because they don't like those connecting bracelets. I don't either, personally. I think they don't look pretty. I think they're uncomfortable. But that's my... And some of you that go jump into the fire, why do they call it? They call it battling the flames, right? Battling the fire. Why is it? Because you don't know, like in real battle, you don't know what's really going to happen. You think, we're going to put the water here, we're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. And it always happens the way you planned, right? No, it doesn't. But yet, God says for those who are fighting for Him, those who are on His side, He says, I will be there with you. I will watch over you. Whether believers or not, I believe that oftentimes God gives special grace to first responders. Because how many times should things have gone wrong and they didn't? I mentioned earlier my brother was a police officer. He shared a few things. Sometimes he said, I can't talk about it. Well, I had to respect that. But from some of the things I heard, things don't go the way I expect. And sometimes you're afraid, oh, this is what should have happened. And somehow, someway, it didn't. So much could have gone wrong and looked like it was going wrong, and yet it didn't. Unfortunately, sometimes those things do go wrong. Good officers get shot. Great firefighters run in, and something goes wrong. But it's amazing how often you put yourself at risk and something doesn't happen. And I happen to think that it's God's grace helping, watching out. It says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes you observe and see the punishment of the wicked. As I read that, I think there are times that you run into situations that are dangerous. Things are happening around you where it looks like people are being hurt, but you're still running into that danger. The psalmist says, you shall not fear. Well, that may be true. Maybe you're not afraid. Maybe the training kicks in. But sometimes there is that fear. But then something else steps in. That thing called courage. Courage isn't the absence of the fear. It says, I'm not going to let fear choose my path. I'm going to go ahead. Everyone else is running that way. But I'm going to run this way because this is the way I'm needed. Things are going crazy around me, but I'm still going forward. Why? Because that's where I'm needed. Because that's where I need to be. Because that's where I can make a difference. God ends this last part of the psalm speaking his words. He says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. We have talked a moment ago about the fact that, yes, bad things happen. But at the end of the day, if you're serving God, God brings victory. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, we know that this life is not the end. There is something greater. And in that place, no evil will come near. We think of Christ. Christ came to be that, in a sense, that first responder. He put himself on the line. Did he face trouble? Yeah. Did he face death? Yes. But what did death have the final word? No, it did not. And it doesn't for those who follow God. It says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra, the great lion and the serpent. And I'm sure none of you have ever felt like you were fighting something like that. Except maybe last week. Actually, I'm hoping that the rest of this week for you guys is nice and boring. I won't say the Q word because that feels like a jinx on you guys. So we're going to go with boring because I wish boring, it sounds like a curse, but we all know better. If you don't know better, talk to a first responder. They'll explain it. But God says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him and acknowledge, for he acknowledged my names. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I would say, God offers us everlasting life. As I conclude today, I want to read a small blog post from Nathan Bisbee, a chaplain with the Northampton County, Pennsylvania Fire Department. His blog post was called God and First Responders. He says, there was a time I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't really believe. I had religion to practice, but no relationship with a personal God. He says, I want to share two short stories, beginning with Easter morning. I've taken time to process and meditate in order to fully articulate what I've been thinking. Waking up before dawn on Easter Sunday, yet staying in bed, I kept repeating myself this phrase, early in the morning, the first day of the week. It's a section from the Gospel of Mark about the resurrection of Jesus. I thought about how Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. Contrary to popular opinion, God helps those who help themselves. Jesus helps those who can't help themselves. And my mind focused on first responders. Yes, I'm oddly tilted toward the lives and actions of the fire, police, EMS, and dispatch personnel. In my faith, in the midst of so much about God I don't fully understand, there's one thing I can grasp. The heart of Jesus, who rescues, is reflected in the actions of first responders. And then the fire. He said, a week ago I was in Plainfield Township, Pennsylvania, at a house fire. Starting at a vehicle in the driveway, wind blowing from the west pushed the flames toward the house, igniting the siding and quickly making its way up the eaves into the attic space. The fire departments responded and was able to make the jump, to prevent the jump from being a total loss of the property. During my interaction with the family and some friends of the home, someone asked, why did it take the fire department so long to arrive? Why didn't they get here sooner? I bet you guys have never heard that. Being part of the volunteer departments for years, he goes on, I conveyed the determination and rapid response for the firefighters and all things being considered. Leaving work or coming from home to the station, leaving friends, families, parties, meals, having multiple calls in a row, or being tired for some other unknown reason. First responders act when called upon with utmost determination and urgency, even if it doesn't seem that way to others. I've seen first responders trapped, rescue the trapped, give aid to the gunshot victims, defend the weak, stand up for righteousness, confront evil, bind the broken, dispatch, help all in seamless strides to their calling and their training. They always respond, even when that response seems slow to others. They are helpers, healers, protectors, correctors. They stand in the gap when no one else can or will. I see God in first responders. I have to agree. He goes on, I've interacted with victims of various police and fire calls. People often express confusion as why God isn't responding. Why isn't he coming more quickly? Why did he let this happen? But just like first responders, things are happening behind the scenes, just outside of sight. For necessary maximum benefit, impact, and effectiveness. If you want to see what Jesus is like, though, at least a brief glimpse, take a look at a first responder. In my view, each and every first responder, whether they have faith in God or not, reflect the image of God in their actions. The good ones, I know, would deny any resemblance to divinity. But look at their passion, their eagerness. Watch them running towards danger, engaging evil, defending the weak, uplifting their broken. To their credit, I see God in first responders. To which I have to say, I see God here today. reflected in you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you. I have no other words to say, and yet they seem so inadequate, I should say. But we're going to sing now about the greatest first responder, Jesus, and he lives today. Let's stand and sing together as we conclude our service.
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me alone.
Father, I ask you to bless each one as they leave this place today, especially those of our first responders. Watch over them, protect them, and take care of them this week. And Lord, let them feel your love and your presence, I ask, as they go forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.